Hello, Tech fans, and welcome into episode 168 of the Tech Sideline podcast, originating from TSL's High Tech Studios, Virginia Tech Corporate Research. I see my computer wanted to jump into the action today. That's why you need to mute your mic, Evan. On today's show, listen, we've got a fun one planned for you today. A lot going on in Virginia Tech athletics. Number 18, Virginia Tech men's basketball looks to play their first game on Tuesday for the first time in 17 days. How will they play at home against Georgia Tech? We'll get the thoughts from Will and Chris on that. On the football side, Coach Justin Fuente taps John Tenuta as a defensive assistant coach. We'll talk about his career and what it means for the football program. Plus, big weekend for 14th-ranked Virginia Tech softball. All that and more coming up, episode 168 of the Tech Sideline podcast that gets started right now. Whether you are watching live or archived on YouTube, please be sure to like and subscribe. If you are watching, listening on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Amazon Music, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or on Stitcher. Well, that's nearly 10 different ways you can watch or listen.
Does anybody listen to the Tech Sideline podcast on Stitcher? Anyone? Anyone?
It's a great question.
Bueller?
I'm pretty sure I'd never heard of Stitcher until you started saying it's available on Stitcher.
I need to listen on Stitcher. I listen on Spotify. Do you guys ever go back and listen, by the way? Like, I'll go back and listen to it on Spotify.
You know, it's terrible. I should really listen to a podcast, but I don't.
Like, when I ever, if I ever want to go back and hear something that we said, I actually just watch it.
Yeah.
Yes, I do tend to watch some on YouTube.
My favorite thing is with my Google Home, I could say, hey, Google, play the Tech Sideline podcast, and it plays it just like that. So you can also do that. We have our same crew here today, as always. To my left, there he is, our managing editor, Chris Coleman. Across the way, our founder and general manager, Will Stewart. And behind the scenes, the best podcast producer in the land. He is Malcolm Stewart, and I'm your podcast host, Evan Hughes. It is great to have you with us. We will have plenty of time at the end of the show to take your questions. So if you're watching on YouTube Live, put in the chat. We'll get to those at the end of the show. And again, if you're watching on YouTube, what should our viewers do, Will Stewart?
You should hit like and subscribe right now. Do it now. Last chance. So seriously, since I don't go back and listen, let us know. We kind of count on you guys to let us know if the audio is not quite right. There's been a couple of times. Eventually, I'm going to buy better mics. These are pretty good mics. I'm going to buy killer mics, which should pick things up better. But, you know, these have a certain pattern to them. Sometimes we get a little out of whack. They get kind of far away from our face. So always provide feedback and let us know, you know, if it doesn't quite sound right. Because ultimately, it is a podcast. It's funny. We got a DraftKings podcast marketing group has reached out to us. And they're going to be sponsoring the podcast during the month of March. So they asked me, what are your analytics? What are your numbers? And I'm like, you know, I know that we're hosted on SoundCloud and we get anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 listens/downloads there, depending upon subject matter. And on YouTube, the video will be watched anywhere from 1,500 to 2,500 times. I said, beyond that, I don't know. I don't even know how to check analytics on Google Podcasts and Spotify and iTunes and all that stuff. So why am I telling this story? I totally lost track of why
I'm telling this story. Just ways you can consume the Tech Sideline podcast?
Yes, I'm pretty sure Stitcher is like maybe 8 or 9 people.
And we have somebody in the chat saying, Joe Woodyear, that he uses Stitcher.
Does he?
If you can't join live. So there you go. Everyone has their different ways of listening. Again, we're so Joe, however you watch or listen, we are glad that you did so.
We'll keep it going just for Joe.
Tech Sideline podcast is presented by Anytime Fitness. Each new member gets a free fitness consultation and a program is designed. Sign up for $1 through your first billing period. You can call 540-951-1340. Again, that's 540-951-1340. Ask for Tyler and tell him that Tech Sideline sent you. Tech Sideline podcast also presented by the Southeast Regional Training Center. Go to southeastrtc.com to find out how you can get involved and support Virginia Tech Wrestling today. We'll talk about the wrestling program in a little bit because they're up to number three in the rankings. One poll has them at number two. Another one has it at number three. They've got the ACC championships coming up this weekend. We will talk about that a little bit later in the podcast. But, gentlemen, how are you guys doing? It's mid-February. We're getting ready for March. Spring sports, fall sports are now playing too. How are you guys doing?
So it's very exciting. It's raining out there today and like 37 degrees, but the weather's about to get a lot better.
It's going to get up to almost 50 today.
Is it? Well, yeah, wait, Wednesday's going to be like mid-50s and sunny, yeah. And that's going to start a run of, you know, I don't want to say something I'm going to regret because something could always happen in the middle of March. Yep. But the really cold stuff, the snow and ice and stuff like that is over for the foreseeable future. You know, something might happen, like I said, in the middle of March. But so that's good. But on a personal note, I had one of those nights where I couldn't get to sleep last night. So I was up till probably like 3:30 in the morning. My wife and I decided to sleep in a couple of days this weekend. And it just doesn't work that way, man. Eventually you're going to have to pay for it. So, but I think I feel pretty good today. Chris, what about you?
I'm good. Ready to roll.
All right. Ready for some men's basketball back in action.
God, right? I hope so. I just about forgotten it was basketball season. It's going to be 17 days without playing. Correct. Right?
Tomorrow will be 17 days. Which is, and let's go ahead and transition to, that's how we're going to lead off the podcast.
Right. So, like, I listened on the radio to the last game that we played.
February 6th.
So the last time I watched us play a basketball game was, I don't know.
Was it the Syracuse game? When we were at Sharky's?
I want to say I've seen
it. No, it would have been was it the Pittsburgh game when we were at PK?
It was a Pittsburgh game. That's the last time I saw this team play basketball.
Are you surprised that I blotted that from my memory?
Good for you. Yeah,
that was very forgettable.
So here's what's coming up on episode 168 of the Tech Sideline Podcast. We will talk about John Tenuta being hiring as the new defensive assistant for Virginia Tech football. We'll talk about Virginia Tech women's basketball winning a record five in a row in the ACC is a program best for Virginia Tech women's basketball. We'll get to them a little bit later, talk about their NCAA tournament chances. We'll talk about Virginia Tech wrestling, getting ready for the ACC championships, plus a big weekend for Virginia Tech softball and baseball, an update on lacrosse. We will cover it all, but we start with the sport that I think Hokie Nation is just so ready to get back. Mm-hmm. It'll be 17 days, as we just mentioned, tomorrow, since the last time Virginia Tech basketball was played again. It was February 6th in Coral Gables, the infamous Hunter Couture three-pointer at the buzzer, going to overtime and win. But the Hokies will finally be back in action Tuesday in Castle Coliseum against I was thinking of one word to describe Georgia Tech, and the word that I came up with was streaky. Is that fair to say?
I think that's fair.
Streaky Georgia Tech.
They look bad some games, and then other games they look great. Like, how much did they beat Miami by this past weekend? Like 27?
I didn't see the final. Oh, I can pull it up, but they were up by like 48-16 at halftime. It was crazy.
It was a blowout.
They crushed it. They ended up winning. Let's see here. They beat Miami 87-60.
Okay, so Alvarado, I've never been a big fan of in the past. Jose Alvarado, their guard. He's one of those types who, he might score 20 points, but it takes him, you know, 25 shots to get there, right? And was never a very efficient player. This year, he's a more efficient player. You certainly make an argument that he should be a first-team All-ACC player this year. His shooting percentages are up, effective field goal percentage up. Just an overall, he doesn't waste possessions taking bad shots like he has in the past, which probably is it's an indicator that Georgia Tech as a team maybe has a better understanding of their offense and what they're trying to accomplish. It's a worrisome game, very worrisome game, because Virginia Tech hasn't played in 17 days, and a good chunk of that they couldn't practice, or at least they couldn't practice with a full squad. It's not so much the not playing part, it's they couldn't practice with a full squad. I think at one point they only had six guys out there. Now, which six guys was that? We don't know, but it was contact tracing that knocked that was the issue. So, from what I'm guessing, you know, of the six guys, three of them were the true freshmen who don't play all that much. They live in a dorm, yeah. Right? So, I don't know. I don't think Tech is going to hit the ground running when they come back. It's going to be interesting to see what Mike Young has to say either today or after the game tomorrow. about what Tech does or what Tech did when they were able to start practicing with a full team again. Because, you know, Clemson at one point was 9-1. Their one loss was on the, was a close loss at Tech, and they had beaten two or three Big Ten teams. They had beaten Florida State. They had a great resume.
Yeah, I mean, Clemson beat Florida State.
Yeah, right. And then their program got shut down, and to the point where they couldn't practice. And then they lost four of their next five, and not only did they lose four of their next five,
they got blown
annihilated,
out.
Annihilated, like 20, 30-point losses.
Yeah.
I mean, just horrible. And then they won three in a row, and then they got shut down again, and we'll see what happens to them now. So Brad Brownell came out and said he made a mistake. So after their first shutdown, he came back. The team came back, and he immediately, you know, they started game planning for their next opponent. But they had missed so much time that he said he wished, if he had it to do over again, they would do more fundamental stuff, more team offense, more team defense. It's hard to imagine how much you could lose in just a short layoff. But if everybody else is moving forward, so I just. I don't know. I think if Tech has taken the last couple of days to focus on themselves, then they won't be prepared sufficiently for Georgia Tech. But that'll make them better for the last three games, right? That's the way I see it. So we'll see what Mike Young says. But it's a difficult situation for all coaches this year whose programs get shut down at some point.
We'll see what Mike Young says. I'm curious what Will Stewart has to say. What do you expect Virginia Tech to look like on Tuesday against Georgia Tech in their first game in 17 days?
I have literally reset my expectations to back before the year even started. I really have no idea what's going to happen. I had no idea what was going to happen when the season started, and I have no idea what's going to happen when it restarts. So I hit up a few days ago, I hit up a contact who you know, is not within the basketball program but knows what's going on. And I said, are we looking good to play against Georgia Tech on Tuesday? And I said, I'm really dreading that game, by the way. And he answered, well, we're going to play as far as I know. Why are you worried about them? They can't rebound, and they have zero interior presence, us by 10. It's like, well, I like your confidence, but I don't know that I share it. So for everybody who gets all mad that Wabisa Beatty is not a good shooter, let's put him on Alvarado and see what happens.
Yeah,
I think that's a big key for the game.
No doubt about it, yeah. And Georgia Tech comes into the game, by the way. They are 11-8, 7-6 in the ACC. They are 8-3 at home, but 2-5 on the road this year. And this is a big game for them because Georgia Tech is on the bubble, but probably on the outside looking in by just a little bit at this point. The Miami win was a big one, but they
need a quality win.
They need a quality win. They almost got it at Clemson February 12th. They lost 74-72. They've lost by 8 to Virginia. So they've hung around with some good teams, but they don't have that signature win on the resume yet.
But I think, relatively speaking, they're playing fairly well lately.
Correct. So they beat Miami at Miami 87-60. They had their game against BC postponed. They beat Pittsburgh 71-65. They lost to Clemson on the road by 2. So they're playing well as of late. And then after Tech, they have Syracuse, Duke at Wake. So they've got some chances to have some resume-building wins late in February. But this Jose Alvarado player for Georgia Tech, their guard, might be one of the best guards in the ACC.
Yeah.
So that is on Tuesday as Hokies men's basketball looks to get back to action. And
now, is that one on ACC Network or RSN?
I believe. Let's see. By the way, anyone who forgot, Hokies are 14-4, 8-3 in the ACC.
In case you've lost track. Game,
I hope it's on our RSN because I can just sit home and listen to it on the radio, and that would guarantee victory.
RSN.
Sweet.
It is on the regional sports network.
So I still won't be able to watch us play.
Yeah. So and Virginia Tech is still third in the ACC, right?
Yeah.
After all this time.
Yeah. Correct. And they're still ranked 18th in the poll, too, so they haven't really changed. They stayed 18th
pollsters,
back-to-back week.
They've not been penalizing teams for getting shut down.
Yeah, keep an eye on the rankings while we're doing the podcast
in
case they come out, because I think Tech will move up. Virginia Tech will move up a little bit.
Now, looking at the situation, something good from something bad. Clearly, we wish that Virginia Tech was able to play their last three games, North Carolina, Louisville, and then actually in Florida State. But Jalen Cohn left the Miami game with an injury. Cordell Pemsel has not played since December 29th, and Coach Mike Young has said that he's been closer to playing. And Tyrese Radford traveled with the team to Miami on February 6th. So of those three players, Chris, do you expect all three to play, a combination of the three to play? Who do you feel good about? Who do you not think might not play on Tuesday?
The funny thing is, like, I had forgotten about Pemsel. Because he was playing in a backup role earlier in the year, and just like that, he got taken out of the lineup, but with a back injury, and then Tech kept winning. Tech has beaten UVA without Pemsel. Tech is third in the ACC without Pemsel. So, we got Ojiako back in the same time frame, and he's given you a few minutes here and there. And Gasan has been playing well. It's given Gasan more minutes.
And Mutz has really
stepped up. So,
let me. Did you catch Mike Young's comments the other day? It was probably on Tech Talk Live about Justin Mutz. Words to the effect of, he was trying to be a different player earlier in the season.
Yeah, he was trying to shoot a bunch of three pointers.
He's gotten back to what he does well, and that's why he's gotten back to who he is, and that's why his game has really taken off.
Yeah, I think so. So the fact that all those guys have improved, or in Gasan's case, gotten on the court for major minutes for the first time, really.
Right.
It makes you almost forget about Pemsel to a certain extent, and I don't know if the guy hasn't played since, what'd you say, December 29th?
Yep, it was the game against Miami.
And he's going to be awfully rusty. So,
and not in shape. So his minutes will be limited.
Yeah. So I just wouldn't expect a big impact there if he does come back.
I never did get a feel for what he is expected to contribute to the team in the time that he played. Did you?
Well, I remember the South Florida game when they put two traditional bigs in their lineup and were really attacking the glass. That's when he played major minutes alongside Aluma. And I think he had double digits that game, didn't he? Maybe even a double-double.
I do want to mention real quick, so Gasan is 6'9", Pemsel 6'9". The difference is Gasan is 205, Pemsel's 250.
Right.
Yep.
So let's see here.
He was going to be playing a lot against your Florida States of the world,
right,
who always hit you with a lot of size and things like that.
He scored 10 points against South Florida and had six rebounds, best game as a Hokie.
Right. Yeah. That was going to be his role,
okay,
I think.
And he also did play 22 minutes against Penn State. He played 19 minutes against South Florida, 22 against Penn State, 15 against Clemson, then 4 against Coppin State, 8 against Longwood, and then 9 against Miami. And that's the last time he's played was December 29th.
Penn State doesn't count. Virginia Tech put players on the floor that night. But
none of them were actually there.
When Penn State had been trending in the right direction, it had been looking like they might sneak into the tournament. Then they had a horrible loss to Nebraska.
It's Nebraska, the only Big Ten team outside the top 100.
They truly, in Big Ten terms, they truly suck.
Right,
and Penn State lost to them.
Yeah, but there's like three ACC teams worse than Nebraska.
All right, so that's about Cordell Pemsel, but we would assume that Jalen Cohn, we would think, back healthy, right, from his ankle injury.
I would think so. I assume it's a sprain, although they never – that was the last game Virginia Tech played, and they said then that it was probably going to be day-to-day.
My concern, been a lot of days. I went back and I watched the film of him getting hurt. The announcers didn't notice. The fans didn't notice. Mm. He got up slowly, and then you could see him limping around the court. And my concern was I wasn't sure if it was a knee or an ankle. They put him in a boot later, so I guess they decided it was an ankle.
Mike Young said in his post-game conference, I was listening to it on the radio when he said it, that he knew it was his ankle.
Okay. Mm. All right.
And Tyrese Radford hasn't played in just about a month, but he's gone through the court system. And everything has been taken care of, and he traveled to Miami.
Yeah, that's a big thing. He traveled with him.
And Mike Young did say at the time that he would have a chance, I believe was the wording, a chance to play later in the week, which, of course, did not happen. So not necessarily asking for a prediction from you guys, but it does seem like things are trending in the right direction for him to return at some point. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and of course, I've had people ask me that. Number one, are we going to play? And I say with confidence, yeah, I'm pretty sure they're going to play Tuesday. Number two, is Tyrese Radford going to play? And I will admit, zero inside knowledge on this. You know, they're getting a little tight-lipped around the basketball program right now, you know, about things. And that, well, that's fine. That's fair.
I can imagine they are right now with the, when the program shut down.
Yes. Yeah. They didn't really want to talk about that. And if I was a betting man, man, I'd call it 50-50. But I, if I had to put money down, I'd put money down on him playing. So we'll see if that's right.
He'll be back at some point this season, I think.
Yeah.
Whether it's this week or later, I don't know. But feel much, much better about it than I did when he originally got suspended. At that point, I was just concerned about whether he'd ever
thought his career was over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the student conduct committee that is a big influencer in things like this, they're separate from like student government, right? Because the student government at Tech just got totally disbanded.
SGA is getting disbanded.
Correct. Yes. Okay.
So I'm pretty different. Sure, again, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure the student conduct is totally separate from SGA.
Yeah, so if you haven't heard anything about that, Google it, Virginia Tech SGA.
Yeah. I was going to say, if they were tied in somehow, I'd be like, now's the time to make your move and get them back on the line. There's no government.
Anarchy.
So Virginia Tech hosting Georgia Tech on Tuesday. Chris Coleman will be listening to John Lazor and Mike Burnup. That is on RSN, and who knows, maybe I'll find you guys downtown some point this week watching.
I will be actually watching it at home.
There you go. Okay, let's transition and talk about Virginia Tech football. The news of the week: Coach Justin Fuente adding veteran defensive coach John Tenuta to the staff. He will serve as Virginia Tech's senior defensive analyst. Tenuta, who has coached, he's a 40-year coaching veteran, 19 seasons of experience as a defensive coordinator. He's been a part of programs that have made 19 bowl games during his career. He most recently was at the University of Cincinnati. Of course, the Bearcats have been top 10 the last couple of years. He was a senior defensive assistant this past year, but previously he had served as their safeties coach from 2017 to 2019. And he reunites with his son, Luke, who is an offensive lineman, of course, on the Hokies football team. Chris, when you saw the news, thoughts on Coach Fuente adding a veteran and John Tenuta to the staff?
Will had heard about a month ago that this was a possibility.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And then it didn't happen, and it didn't happen. And,
I forgot about it.
Yeah, and then it happened. I'm like, oh, yeah, I think we knew that was going to happen, but then we forgot about it. But I think it's a really good addition. He kind of fills a number of different roles. He can help you from an X's and O's standpoint if you need him. I think the biggest thing there is he could help with blitz packages. His defenses, when he was defensive coordinator, were notorious for their blitzing schemes. In fact, that's all he did is blitz.
Sometimes
blitz
to a fault.
Oh, well, I mean. Yeah, there was nothing wrong with the blitzing schemes, the X's and O's. Strategically, how they were employed, there was an issue. Like, all he did is blitz. So it's one of those things. It's like tactics are fine, strategy not so good sometimes. It was literally one of those teams you played against. Like, I remember the 2007 Georgia Tech game in Atlanta.
That's the Jersey game, right?
Yes, the Jersey game. And Sean Glennon got sacked 6 or 7 times, but he also threw for about 300 yards against man coverage across the board.
Yeah,
so it was literally feast or famine for the Tech offense. Either hitting the deep ball or getting sacked, and that was kind of what his defenses were. Now, that said, you know, I don't think he's going to have a big influence on Justin Hamilton's game planning and things like that, but I think he can help with blitz design, like design this play in this scheme, not how often they're employed or when they're employed and things like that.
I like the hire because he's a true defensive analyst. That's his job.
Mm-hmm.
He's not supposed to coach a position. He's not supposed to recruit. That said, somebody I think emailed or texted me and Chris and said he'll have an effect on recruiting, and the person didn't go into why. Apparently, Tenuta's just one of those competitive guys, so he's going to want to help out in any way that he can. You know, the Tracy Clays experiment, which lasted about less than a year. You know, I think we all thought at the time that Clays was going to serve as a mentor of sorts for Justin Hamilton. I don't know how much that occurred. We did hear that Clays had an open door policy. He'd help if you came by to talk about stuff. I don't think he put much effort, if any, into recruiting.
I think he knew we wasn't going to be here very long.
Yeah.
Recruiting is not something, unless you really, really, really love recruiting, you're not going to put a lot of effort into it if you know you're only going to be at a place for a year.
Think about when was he hired, Clays?
Last January, maybe.
So he would have had a month and 2 weeks to recruit before the pandemic.
Right, and
in person, and,
right? In person, exactly. Yeah. So
now, sorry, made me cut you off.
No, you're fine.
One of the interesting things I saw here about a connection between Coach Fuente and Coach Tenuta. Did you guys pick up on this in the press release where they have crossed paths before?
Yeah, Tenuta was the defensive backs coach at Oklahoma when Fuente was their quarterback.
In 1995.
So there was a time when Tenuta was basically the scout, Fuente's scout team coach when Fuente was in college.
Yeah.
And now they reunite in Blacksburg. So
Clays was hired in December 13th, 2019. So 3 months.
So you look at his background, and I wanted to play a quick game real quick. I don't know how closely you guys looked at the press release, but he has coached at a number of schools.
Yeah, Chris read all that stuff.
I compared him to Phil Elmashin. Now, a lot of those people, a lot of people listening to the podcast don't know who that is. You wouldn't know who that is.
No, I do from talking to so many times on the podcast. Oh, my gosh, the architect.
They are, yeah, exactly. No, Elmashin didn't have as much experience as Tenuta does now when Tech hired him in 1993. But if you look at their overall resumes at the end of their careers coaching, they're very, very similar. So you get a well-traveled guy, a guy with a lot of experience at a lot of different schools. What I like about him is he's coached at Ohio State and he's coached at Oklahoma. So he's coached big-time players. He's coached at some small schools too. So he's coached a bunch of guys that nobody wanted. And he's coached at schools, a lot, very similar schools, similar programs like Georgia Tech, UVA. There's some other ones in there, and now Virginia Tech. So he's coached across all levels of FBS college football.
And don't sleep on the fact that he just came from Cincinnati, because that's where Luke Fickell is coaching, and Luke Fickell clearly has built a good program.
Almost beat Georgia in the Peach Bowl this year.
In the Ohio State mold, you know, he coached, I believe, under Urban Meyer. So he, Tenuta has been at some big-time programs, and he's been at a mid-level program that is run like a big-time program.
Help me count them out real quick with your fingers here, guys. Here we go. These are where the stops where Coach Tenuta has been. 1981-82, Virginia. Maryland, 1983. Vanderbilt, 84-85, Marshall, 87-88, Kansas State, 88, SMU, 89-94, Oklahoma, 95, Ohio State, 96-2000, Georgia Tech, 02-07, Notre Dame, 08-09, NC State, 2010-12, Virginia again, almost 30 years later, 2013 to 2015, then Cincinnati from 17-20, and now Virginia Tech.
I've got this as his 14th, I think if I counted properly.
It's amazing. So, and you know, from a total non-football perspective, I always wonder what that's like for, like, you know, Kenny Brooks, head coach of women's basketball, is doing it right now, right? He got to coach his daughter Kendall, his daughter Chloe's on roster. I wonder what that's like for, you know, your dad to be in the program if you're Luke. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You go to college, you're going to play D1. Is it cool to have dad there at the office every day?
I think maybe if you're – like, he's not going to see him too much. Like, Tenuta's an offensive lineman. So he's in one room, and Tenuta's over here with a completely different group of people. And even in practice, you know, Tenuta is over here. One Tenuta's over here, the other Tenuta's over there, right? Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say. I think it's nice having him around, but, there's never going to be any, like, overbearing feelings or anything like that because they're going to stay separated. Enough. What I've always been interested in is guys who move as much as John Tenuta has. I've lived in the same town my entire adult life. I've literally never moved. The last time I moved was from Fox Ridge to my current house. I mean, 2007 was the last time I moved.
You've been in that place since 2007?
And I bought it in 2007.
Man.
Fox Ridge is a good spot, by the way.
Well, Fox Ridge was the place to be when I was a student back in the 80s. Fox Ridge and Terrace View, I think, were the top two places. And not so much now. You know, a lot of really expensive stuff has been built since then.
Real quick, question from BK. Why not just have Bud be the analyst?
Because Bud doesn't want to. That's my guess. I'm not tight with Bud.
I think if Bud Foster outside of – I'm pretty sure Bud Foster has the clout where he could snap his fingers and get any job he wanted over there. If he wants to sit around and work 10-12 hour days, then sure. But if you wanted to do that, he could just still be defensive coordinator. I mean, quite frankly, you're working just as hard. It's a grind. I just don't think he wants to. Now, what we've heard Bud is going to do is he's going to play a role that helps out with former player relations. And I don't know if this will be he'll be officially named in such a role like on the HokieSports.com staff directory or whatever. But yeah, if Bud Foster wanted to keep working long hours, then he would have just wouldn't have retired his defensive coordinator.
I'm sure once you get a little taste, Will, of the fishing and the retirement life, it would be tough to go back.
Well, let's see. I can sit at the lake, go out on my boat, drink a couple of beers, not have to wear a mask, or I could go into the Merriman Center every day and once the season started,
get a swab shoved up my nose
3 times a week. No, thank you. I will stay retired. Yeah.
You know, and I think about this stuff because I'm 56, so I'm looking at retirement in 10 years, you know, and I've been at this gig for 25 years, and it's a lot of nights, it's a lot of weekends, it's a lot of hard work. And I look 10 years down the road, I'm like, man, when I retire, what am I going to do? My guess is I'm going to hang out on the message boards and sleep late a lot, you know, but it's just, how do you... What I'm saying is I think about going from working really hard for many years to suddenly not having to, and it affects different people different ways. A lot of guys miss the competition and they want to get back into it. A lot of guys don't. They get there and they're just like, man, this is nice. I don't have to
should have done this years ago.
Yeah.
All right, one more sport to talk about before we get to our break here on episode 168 of the Tech Sideline Podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, please be sure to hit the like and subscribe. We're at 17 as we record right now. Please, even if you're watching archived.
Yes, absolutely.
Hit the like and subscribe button. Let's talk about Virginia Tech women's basketball before we go to break, because since the upset of North Carolina State, not only have the Hokies won 5 games in a row, but they've had to deal with some ups and downs of UVA and Duke canceling their season a month ago, so they lost games there. They have not played a routine schedule over the last couple of weeks, and regardless, they still find ways to win. So they've won 5 straight. It's a program best since they've joined the ACC. They've never won in a row in conference play in the ACC. And on Sunday in Castle Coliseum, since not playing in a week, they beat the Orange. Both teams had 7 wins in the ACC, 76-68, Asia Shepherd with 23 points for Virginia Tech, and all of a sudden, Virginia Tech, that resume looking better and better. They're now 500 in the conference, 7-7, 12-7 overall, and Will, it really feels like they've really righted the ship here the last month or so.
Yeah, so Charlie Cream for ESPN, I believe, is the guy. He's the Joe Lunardi.
Of got his back. Last name this week. He's not... Charlie somebody, isn't that what you called him last
week? I did, Charlie. So he updated him from a 10 seed to a 9 seed, and that was prior to yesterday's game. And Syracuse is a solid women's program. I mean, I can't remember what their record was, but they had a better record in the ACC than Virginia Tech, I think, going into that game. And I did not get a chance to watch it, unfortunately, because I was doing some things and following softball and all that.
They were up by a lot of points.
44-22 at the half.
Okay.
And then Syracuse came out and scored something like 24 points in the third quarter, which if you multiply that out, that's a 96-point pace. So they closed the gap, but Tech was able to keep them at bay. So, Evan, let me ask you. You probably watch a lot of their games. And I'm sorry, this is just me. I tend to look down the road. I really like what they've got going, and a lot of their players are young. How much are they going to miss Asia Shepherd when she leaves? Well, can Kayla King step into that role, for example?
I think so. I think the thing about Shep is, so she was the first recruit Kenny Brooks ever had
right. When
he got here, and he was the first person that went out, or that was the first person that came in the program and helped turn the culture right and ride the ups and downs of a couple of those teams when she was young that like they started really great in the non-conference and then you know they struggled in ACC play, and so she has been the constant through it all. I think she's one of the best scorers in the entire country. I mean, I hear them say it on the ACC network, right? She can drive, she can pull up, she's got a great three step back 3-point shot. I don't know if you, I mean, from a leadership standpoint, I mean, she is just a rock star. I mean, I don't know if you guys watched the video of when she had that step back three against NC State in overtime and the reaction, everybody swarming. It was the best reaction, I think, of, and I know Latona's was great in wrestling, but I mean, Asia Shepherd was just, I mean, so amped up. Yeah. So I think it'll be a big loss, not because anybody can't fill the role. I just think she's such a special person and player. You know, it's tough to replace one of the best players in program history. However, you look at how great Kenny Brooks has recruited, and you look at Kayla King and how much better she's gotten from freshman year to sophomore year. I think she's someone who could fill into that role. And I think Georgia Amore is going to be the person that actually fits into more of the Shepherd role, because I think she's more of a natural scorer. And she's just a freshman, you know. So it's a good question. I do think it'll be a significant loss. And I'm curious, though, because she's a graduate student. I'm curious if she comes back for another year, the eligibility, and it'll be interesting to see what happens.
You know, who knows? She may look at the landscape of the team and think, I can do this another year, and we can do some stuff.
Yeah.
Particularly if restrictions lift and fans get a chance to see the players play. I wonder how much of that is going to affect some of these athletes' decisions.
Well, the thing is,
chance to play in front of fans again.
They're not going to know by the time they have to make the decisions. I mean, at least I don't think they will.
I know.
I mean, the NCAA is making their recruiting decisions 3 months in advance.
So. Which is just stupid.
Right, but there's no reason to make – to. I mean, you should be able to snap your fingers and say, okay, next week recruiting starts again. Right, I don't know why you have to make that decision. That's a whole another topic, but I don't know why you have to make that decision 3 months in advance.
Yeah. We should do a podcast just bashing the NCAA.
We should. That would have an effect on me if I maybe had already had my degree, but I wasn't going to be a pro or anything like that, and you know the job market's probably not great right now. I'd probably come back another year, but I would come back another year depending on a lot of things. Do I have to get something stuck up my nose 3 times a week? Because probably not. I'm probably not going to do that, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
And are there going to be fans in the stands?
Yeah.
Speaking of fans in the stands, real quick, by the way, Virginia Tech softball just announced that to follow the public health guidelines, ensure the safety of Virginia Tech student athletes, staff, and fans. Softball will compete without fans in attendance until further notice. Only essential staff and family members of student athletes will be allowed in attendance. So that's the first news we're getting of spring. Even though there were, I think 201 was the count for baseball yesterday. So anyways, just looking ahead to now spring sports. That's the.
Just don't do it, Chris. I'm not going to do it. You don't do it. Let's just move on. Well, but anyway, back to women's basketball. And getting off of the future thing and getting back to the present.
A nine
projected as a 9 seed before yesterday's win. I don't know what the net is today. I haven't been on Twitter and seen if anybody's put it up, but it just so what does the rest of the schedule look like?
Do you great have question. So this is the final week of the regular season for women's basketball. They will play Clemson on Thursday in South Carolina at 6 o'clock. That is on the
ACC place where
network.
They have fans.
And then their game on Sunday was supposed to be at Virginia before they canceled their season in January. So on the schedule right now is North Carolina for a third time. They added that game. The Hokies are 2-0. And the Tar Heels are actually playing really good basketball right now. So that would turn – if they can beat North Carolina for a third time.
Yeah, but Virginia Tech's playing better, a lot better than they were. Remember they lost – they had that stretch where they lost 6 out of 7 games, and the one win was against North Carolina.
Right. 2-0 against the Tar Heels.
Right.
So you've got a chance. If you win those two games, you finish 14-7, 9-7 in the league. Signature win against second-ranked North Carolina State. And then, you know, I think the resume is looking pretty good.
It sounds like they're pretty much a lock unless they just lost every single game remaining. Like if they lost these last two and then lost
and
their
first game
of the ACC tournament, they're having an ACC tournament.
They are. That's next week, and they will. So they don't have to worry about the first round. I was talking to Brian Johnson, the voice of Tech women's basketball, yesterday, and since Duke and Virginia canceled their season, there's just going to be one first round game next Wednesday. Then it's the second round, and I believe after talking to him, I forget the scenario, but there is a chance. If they take care of business this week, they can somehow lock up a double bye Nice. In the ACC tournament.
Do you remember the old ACC tournament back when there were 9 teams in the ACC? And it was just it was basically a 3-day event. It was a 3-day event, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Uh-huh.
But there was always the Thursday night game, the 8-9 seed.
Right.
That would determine who played the number 1 seed the next day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's kind of there was a, so the technically that was the first round. The one game was the first round. Yeah. So that's what this would be like, yeah.
All right, let's step aside for a break here on episode 168 of the Tech Sideline Podcast. When we come back, number 2/3 Virginia Tech wrestling opens the ACC championships this weekend, looking to defend their ACC dual team championship from the regular season. We'll talk about the Hokies' chances. We'll talk about Makai Lewis and John Borst, plus Virginia Tech softball. Have to talk about the Hokies with a huge, huge weekend for the program. Tech baseball with 2 wins to open their season, and Virginia Tech lacrosse, plus your questions. All coming up, episode 168 of the Tech Sideline Podcast, presented by Campus Emporium, Anytime Fitness, in the Southeast Regional Training Center. We're back in just a moment. Welcome back to episode 168 of the Tech Sideline Podcast. So glad you could join us as we record on Monday morning, February 22nd. Evan Hughes alongside Chris Coleman, Will Stewart behind the scenes, the best podcast producer in the land, Malcolm Stewart. Tech Sideline Podcast is presented by Campus Emporium. They're proud to sponsor the Tech Sideline community. A portion of every sale is returned to Virginia Tech in support of its endowment for excellence, student programming, and need-based scholarships. We have been serving the Virginia Tech community for over 25 years from our locations in Blacksburg and our online store. Please visit the number one source for Virginia Tech merchandise at campusemporium.com or come see us 207 North Main Street or 1337 South Main Street. For those watching the podcast today, you can see Will Stewart wearing a very cool Columbia button-down maroon orange VT logo. Will, for our listeners, tell us about what you are wearing today.
This is an awesome plaid shirt. It is, you know, it's funny. I cut and pasted the description so I could read it, but the actual name of the shirt I don't have. I think it's long sleeve Rapid Rivers shirt. I thought Rapid Rivers was the brand at first, but no, you're right. It's a Columbia. So features the VT logo printed on the left chest in orange, and it's got a real cool, I guess the basic shirt is white and the plaid is orange and maroon. And I've never heard this term, a single stash pocket on the left chest. I guess you're supposed to just stash
That's
stuff
where you
there.
Stash things, yeah.
So, I graduated a degree in engineering, and I worked in the engineering world for 12 years, and that's where engineers kept their pocket protectors. And, yes, I did ruin a shirt one time because I had a pen in the pocket that leaked into the pocket, just classic stuff you see in movies. So, anyway, stretch fabric, 97% cotton, 3% elastane, which is another thing I've never heard of. Malcolm, can you do me a favor and go to the website and look up how much this costs? Because I also forgot to do the price, but I'm wearing it untucked. It's not made to be worn untucked. I'm just at a point in my life where I just want my shirts untucked. You know what I'm saying?
Let's real quick before we transition and talk. I do want to mention 2 things. Oh, it's Malcolm.
$60, not bad.
Look at that, Malcolm Stewart.
For a Columbia Virginia Tech shirt, $60 is not bad. No. Do you remember the when we first started doing the featured items? I wore the Columbia Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought that one. I still got it. That's very cool. So I will be wearing it in the spring after things warm up.
I can
up.
See that Columbia shirt in your button down in your future as well.
Yeah, this is very much like if you go into some Virginia Tech event or whatever. It's awesome.
Before we transition, I do want to mention 2 things that we found out during the break. Number one, a great comment from Alan Potts in our YouTube chat. He said, saw a projection that Asia Shepherd is a first-round WNBA pick, like 23rd pick. If true, would she really come back?
No.
Did not realize that.
Wouldn't think so.
And good for her. She's going to have a great professional career whenever she decides to do that, that is. Okay. Also, I want to point out on Twitter, this is why I have Twitter open during the podcast, that 3-star tight end Harrison St. Germain will play for Virginia Tech. He currently attends, as I pull up his profile, Westfield High School in Centerville, Virginia.
Nice. We just got a commit.
So yes. Is this a commit or a PW?
Well, let's see. It says committed with 2 exclamation points, and he tagged everybody.
Is he 2022?
He is a, let's see, 3-star tight end, 6'4", 235. Let me click on his huddle real quick and see. Sophomore varsity highlights. This was, let's see, it looks like a junior tight end.
So he'd be a 2022 guy.
Yeah,
right?
Okay, so he'd be a scholarship guy, yeah.
So Evan, who went to Westfield?
Is it Sean Glennon?
Sean Glennon.
And Eddie Royal.
Very good.
Finally. Hey, look who knows the Hokie trivia today.
You were 5 years old when they signed.
Gosh, don't say that. Gosh, that is the first quarterback I remember playing for Tech, Sean Glennon. Yeah.
I remember Andy and Herndon used to go to all the recruiting commitments.
He sure did. I saw him. I met him at Tyrod's.
Yeah.
Because I went to cover that one, and I met Andy and Herndon there.
Didn't Andy used to go to him, and the players would always commit somewhere else?
Oh, yeah, for the longest time.
And Eddie Royal finally broke that streak.
Yeah.
So let's transition and talk about one program that has a chance to win an ACC championship this weekend. Again, Virginia Tech Wrestling opens the ACC Wrestling Championships this weekend for the ACC. It's this weekend hosted by North Carolina State. By the way, the Hokies finished the regular season ranked number 2 in the country in one poll and number 3 in the other poll.
Man.
So
that's pretty good,
right?
Yeah, we'll take it.
Chris gives that 2 thumbs up.
Yeah. Now, is that a dual meet ranking or a tournament ranking or just a ranking?
It's
a
good question.
I'm sure it's ranked on results of the season, so dual meet. Yeah, it's not necessarily to be used as a projection for ACC tournaments or NCAA tournaments or things like that.
So this weekend, though, the big question for Virginia Tech is, and there are so many wrestlers that I think has a chance to win an ACC title this weekend for Tech, but the story going into it is, will Makai Lewis wrestle? Will John Borst wrestle for Virginia Tech? I think that's what's on the minds of majority of Virginia Tech wrestling fans right now, because to win the overall ACC championship, the Hokies are going to need those two to wrestle.
Both those guys. Now, to my knowledge, Tony Robey has not said anything publicly about details about their injuries or anything like that. I reached out to the wrestling program last night and said, what can we say on the podcast? And Makai Lewis and John Borst are entered / scheduled to be part of the ACC tournament this weekend, and that's all the information that's there. No additional information about, you know, and I'm getting in over my head here. But Makai, for example, might be injured bad enough that he maybe needs to officially be entered in the ACC tournament in order to make the NCAAs.
Yeah, because he can enter the ACCs, forfeit, and still make the NCAAs. Yeah. But if he doesn't enter the ACC tournament, he cannot enter the NCAA tournament.
Right? So you put yourself in a position where if those guys have entered and can't wrestle, if Makai is just going to weigh in and take a forfeit so he can hopefully wrestle in the NCAAs, you know, then Tech doesn't have a chance to win the ACC championship.
You need all 10 guys.
Sorry to insult you guys, but, you know, if you're missing Makai and or John Borst, Borst is a little different thing because Hunter Keck is pretty good. But if you're missing Makai, it's going to be really difficult to win the ACC. You're going to have to have some other guys really step up.
Right.
I'm sure they're calculating every day what to do, what the best course of action is.
I doubt they've even come close to a decision yet. We'll see where he's at later in the week.
Because they don't wrestle until – is the whole thing done on Sunday? I think the whole thing is done on Sunday.
Wait, let me check real quick. But I am pretty sure it is just a one-day – let's see here. It's nice to see at the top of the page, 9-0, 5-0.
Yes.
They wrestle on – yes, all day February 28th, this coming Sunday.
Yeah.
So it's a one-day event.
So they have, you know, 5 or 6 days to figure this out.
Yeah. And the thing is, if he wrestles and if he's not 100% and he loses, and then, you know, he's not healed up in time for the NCAA tournament as a result, you didn't do yourselves any favor at all. You still lost the ACC tournament. And now you lessen his chance of being healthy for the NCAA tournament, right?
Yeah, it's a tough decision.
Yeah, so it's extremely difficult. Or I think if he's already entered into the ACC tournament, so if they've already entered him into it, it means they know that he does have a chance to at least come back for NCAAs, right?
I think that's a good interpretation.
Right. So now,
if he wasn't able to wrestle at all,
it's just a matter of timing right now.
Yeah.
So let's look real quick at the rank, the weight classes. I think Virginia Tech has a chance to win an ACC championship. And so Sam Latona is the highest ranked, excuse me, wrestler at 125. Wouldn't that be some awesome drama if the championships came down to 125 again between Jacob Camacho of North Carolina State and Sam Latona? Obviously, that's probably your projection for the 125 championship. At 133, Mickey Phillippe of Penn State is ranked fourth, and then Corbin Myers is seventh.
Not Penn State.
I'm sorry. Pitt. Sorry, I was just looking at Roman Bravo Young above him. So Mickey is ranked fourth in the country for Pitt. Corbin Myers is ranked seventh. They did not wrestle at the end of the regular season.
True.
149, Austin O'Connell of North Carolina is number one in the country. But, you know, Bryce Andonian, you never know. He's ranked eighth in the country. He's explosive. You never know if he can... You know, he competed with them, too.
Didn't they wrestle, though? And
I thought it was actually close, actually, in the regular season.
I thought Bryce hung in there, but O'Connor just, man, he's tough.
He is tough. He is absolutely tough. There's no doubt about that. Let's see. At 165, obviously, gosh, if Makai was healthy, you'd love nothing more for him to get to wrestle that Jake Wetzel guy from Pitt, who he had an injury forfeit against, and he's the defending champion, and gosh, Hokie Twitter went at Pittsburgh Twitter when they announced that they beat Makai Lewis, and that was an ordeal. So you know that's going to be exciting.
Right. So let's hit the pause button there and clarify that one a little bit. The Pitt Wrestling Twitter feed basically celebrated Wetzel's victory over Makai Lewis. I don't think the tweet even mentioned that it was an injury default.
He did not sit well. He wins, what, 6-0?
He beats the number one wrestler in the country.
Uh-huh.
And didn't say a thing about, oh, the guy was injured. You know, I love that kind of stuff. I love what makes rivalries rivalries.
And in reality, like everybody else, you know, Pitt's got some intern in charge of that because not that many schools can afford full-time employees at every single position of their athletic department these days.
I will counter, though, and say that usually the people around wrestling are dialed into wrestling.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
It's a little – you have all kind of hangers-on in basketball and football.
I saw that tweet. And I saw you don't mess around with Hokie Twitter, but you really don't mess with Hokie Wrestling Twitter. And I said, oh, boy. So
basketball and football have all kinds of hangers-on and wannabes. Wrestling really isn't like that. The people who are around it are dialed into it.
184 is going to be a weight class to watch. Hunter Bowen, number one in the country now, and 184 in Hintermat. And Trent Hidley of NC State, number three in the country. And they wrestled that low-scoring.
Hunter is undefeated against Hidley, right?
I believe so.
I think he's 3-0. All of them very low-scoring, 2-1, 3-1 kind of things.
And then at heavyweight, if John Borst can wrestle, he's ranked 20th in the country. Quinn Miller of Virginia, they did not wrestle this year. That's when Hunter Katka made his debut because Borst lost to Miller last year. Miller is the highest-ranked ACC wrestler from Intermat. He's ranked 14th in the country. And then Borst is 20th. And of course, Borst did lose to NC State's heavyweight, but he was also wrestling. No doubt he was wrestling injured. He was not 100% after he, you know. So, anyway, it's going to be interesting to see what happens this weekend for Virginia Tech wrestling. And wouldn't that be something that they can win the ACC championship and the dual meet team title? That would be something.
Now, I think some of the early matches are streamed. Do they put the finals on ACC Network? I think that's what they did a couple of years ago.
I honestly don't know. Don't know. Yeah. That is a great question. Because it's a Sunday. You think there's going to be basketball. I mean, it's an all-day event, so it's going to be interesting to see because women's basketball, that's the final day of the regular season, which there's typically a lot of games on the ACC Network on Sunday. So,
right.
All right, let's transition. We're an hour in, but I do want to make sure we touch up before we get to your questions. Will, should we start softball, baseball, or lacrosse? Where do you want to start here? You pick.
Let's do lacrosse first because I don't know that we have much to say about it. It was disappointing, so let's do lacrosse
first. Sure. Well, they opened up their season last week, 13-5 win against Liberty. I mentioned on last week's podcast they had this huge in-state rivalry with James Madison.
In Dukes Lane Stadium.
10th, in Lane Stadium, and it got postponed due to COVID in the Dukes program. So they did not get a chance to play that. The Hokies are ranked. They played 12th-ranked Duke on the road. They lost 12-8 in Durham on Sunday. So they're now 1-1 on the year, and then they just had a game added against Longwood this Wednesday at 3 o'clock at Thompson Field, and then they play at Virginia this Saturday. And so that's always a big one against Virginia, and the Cavaliers are another really good lacrosse program. So,
and I got the impression, I didn't get a chance to watch the lacrosse game against Duke, but I got the impression Tech started out really hot and then just got run over. Like a long stretch where they struggled to score.
And that was on the ACC Network yesterday.
Yeah, yep.
On the ACC Network Extra for the last 4 days, I think one of the highlights of the weekend for Virginia Tech Athletics was 14th-ranked Virginia Tech softball establishing themselves as the best team in the ACC this weekend. They went on the road to Clemson on Thursday, played this up-and-coming program. And again, you know, you knew Clemson was going to play well. They've got some good talent, Valerie Cagle and Millie Thompson. And they lose game one. I believe it was 7-1.
Did Keely Richard pitch that game?
She did. She did. And they Virginia Tech lost 8-1 to Clemson, who's receiving votes. So how do they come back the next day in a doubleheader on Friday, having to play two games? First off, Ivy Rosenberry throws 5 shutout innings in game two. They win 9-0, mercy rule Clemson. And then in game two of the doubleheader, they win 4-1 against Clemson. So they hold the Tigers to 1 combined run.
Did Rochard start that game?
She did.
Okay.
Won a complete game. Then the Hokies playing in the ACC pod. They go to Atlanta to play Florida State at Georgia Tech Stadium.
At Georgia Tech Field, right.
And, again, Florida State 2018 World Series champs. They get a lot of recognition. They're typically a top 10 program. They're ranked 13th. They beat Tech 7-1 in Game 1. Now, in Game 1, Florida State, Virginia Tech, the Hokies threw Ivy Rosenberry and Mac Osborne, who are two freshmen. Keely Richard throws Game 2. They mercy rule Florida State 9-1 in 5 innings. Mercy rule is you're up by 10 runs after 4, it's over, and then 8 runs or more after the 5th, it's over. And then on Sunday, the rubber match, 6-0, they shut out Florida State. Keely Richard, another shutout win.
And in each of the two wins, did they homer? I know in the middle game, Tech homered twice in the same inning. Didn't they do the same thing again in the third game?
Home runs yesterday, let's see. Cameron Fagan, the freshman, had a 3-run home run. Grace Chavez had a home run. Grace Chavez hit 4 home runs this weekend.
Nice.
I mean,
that's a lot of home runs. Yeah.
As much as we talk about Keely Richard and Ivy Rosenberry, the pitching, the offense of when they're on, they're on. I think the one thing to take from this weekend, the reason why they lost 2 games, honestly, their defense let them down. And that 9-1 loss to Clemson in game one, Keely Richard gave up one earned run.
Right. Mm.
So
Keely's ERA is still very stout.
Right.
And I thought the my other big takeaway from the weekend was the second game against Florida State. Florida State pitched their ace, Kalen. I don't remember her last name.
No, Arnold.
Kalen Arnold.
Yep.
And I had to do my research because Tech got to her. And got to her early and then scored, how many runs was it in like the third inning? I think it was 8 runs in one inning or something like that. So I'm looking, it's like, is that Florida State's ace? Because, man, they're shelling her, you know. So I thought that was nice too.
I'm actually getting a correction. It's only 8 after 5 innings. My apologies. I was pretty sure it was 10 after 4, but apparently that is not the case for softball. But anyways,
okay.
I love that about softball, by the way. When a team's up, just
end it.
End it.
Well, I mean – softball, you hardly ever throughout the course of a series pitch more than 2 pitchers, or
correct,
three at most, right?
Correct.
So yeah, if you're up by 10 points, just end it and let everybody save their arms, yep, you know?
So again, Hokies have not beaten Florida State in a series since, I want to say, 2011.
They had lost 19 out of 20.
And again,
beaten them since 2014.
And for the longest time in the ACC was the worst conference, I think it's fair to say, amongst Power Fives in college softball. I mean, the SEC, every team makes the NCAA tournament.
Right.
The Big Ten is pretty good. The Pac-12 is terrific. I mean, UCLA. Yep. But now the ACC, after Florida State won the World Series, was a big deal for the conference in 2018 that Florida State could win it. And the ACC now has about 5 or 6 teams, maybe even 7, that can make the NCAA tournament. So all of a sudden, you've got Virginia Tech, who is going to, I think, going to be in the top 10, folks, when the rankings come out this week. Borderline top. I mean, you beat Clemson and Florida State in a series, they're going to move up. But you've got schools like Louisville, you've got Notre Dame, you've got Clemson now, you've got Duke is 8-1 on the year. They're a relatively new program in their third year. So the ACC is on the rise, and it's incredible the turnaround that Pete DeMore's done with this program.
I would have thought that the ACC softball would have been no different than ACC baseball. ACC baseball has always been dominant, right? But when Clemson didn't have a softball team until last year, Duke didn't have a softball
team. Miami doesn't have softball.
Right, right.
Miami and Wake Forest are the two schools that do not have softball.
So how many softball teams are there, right?
13.
So,
13, right. Yeah.
So there's 13 now. But, you know, as of a few years ago, there weren't 13. So I guess that plays a role to a certain extent. Obviously, Clemson's already, even though they're only in their second year, they already seem like they're pretty good, but they have a chance to be great
Correct.
In softball.
And I don't know if you watched any of the broadcasts, the facilities there at Clemson. I mean, it's a beautiful field.
They snap their fingers and have, like, some of the best facilities in the ACC. Literally snap their fingers.
So the Hokies' only game this week was against Radford at Radford on Wednesday. That game has been canceled, not because of COVID. They made that clear in the press release. I read Radford's press release, and it said because the field will be unplayable at Radford is what their release said. So Hokies don't play.
I'll say this. Like, with as much snow and ice and rain as we've had recently, like, can a school like Radford, I mean, they might have literally laid off all their – keeping people.
Yeah, who knows?
And they don't have full time people doing that. And it's hard to you see this, and I know this from European soccer, but you never see a big team over in Europe, a big soccer team, have a game canceled. But if you're a country like Switzerland or something like that, who can't afford a big time field or a full time groundskeeping crew, maybe it gets really, really cold over December, they don't play all their matches. Some of them get canceled and pushed back till spring. So this could be like something like where Radford right now is just understaffed when it comes to that.
Now, that said, a lot, I wish I had the chart in front of me because I've done this in the past. A lot of their athletic revenue comes from student fees. I've been to Radford University basketball games, and they don't turn out big crowds. So it's not like ticket revenue from men's basketball. Yes, I'm sure for them it's a fairly significant stream of income, but it's not like Virginia Tech makes 17 to 20 million a year on football tickets, right. And that disappeared.
Right.
Poof.
Real quick, Hokie Chip is commenting, and Hokie Chip
who's
Grubb,
that?
our softball guru, my friend, was credentialed for Tech Sideline this week. He went to Clemson. He went to Georgia Tech. I think he's the biggest Hokie softball fan in the world, and he gives them so much well-deserved attention. So, Chip, thanks for your stuff. I'm sure we'll have an article up on the recap at some
today,
point.
Yeah.
But here's what he said. The bounce back of this team is simply amazing, not only winning but dominating. Grace Chavez didn't just hit home runs. She hit moonshots. Pretty sure one is still going. I ended up sitting beside a gentleman from Rounding Third Softball who owns and operates a softball information site, including Twitter and Facebook. Late in game three, assuming against Florida State, he leaned over and said, "This was really impressive. After game one, I thought I was going to see a three-game Florida State sweep. Instead, VT bounced back emphatically. Very, very impressed." So Hokies are finally getting the well-deserved attention. I think for the longest time, the national landscape, right, because the ACC has been kind of behind as a softball. Everyone only looks at Florida State. Now Virginia Tech has said, hey, we just went out and beat the 2018 champs.
So let's talk about Chip. Chip was in Atlanta yesterday for the game and submitted his write-up at 2:30 a.m. So Chip is getting a little taste of what it's like to be a sports writer.
Yeah.
So he's in Atlanta, watches the third game, drives home, writes it up, and sends it in at 2:38.
You know what most sports writers do. They write their article during the course of their game, or within an hour after the game, they've already submitted it.
But being credentialed media is very new to Chip.
Exactly.
I'm not sure he doesn't
have the training.
But
that
is not
sure.
A fun drive from Atlanta to Blacksburg. The traffic in Atlanta, Georgia, I mean – that is a
– George Tech is
I've
right
done that
in
twice. So I've been with softball and baseball in Atlanta, and the amount of times we have sat on a bus for about an hour outside of Atlanta, just waiting to just move. Anyway,
so the streaming production of Florida State and Virginia Tech was just horrible because it's at Georgia Tech, and Georgia Tech's not playing, so they're not really going to allocate the resources to it. So it reminded me of when we used to stream our Tech Sideline podcasts out over Facebook Live using your iPhone. They literally look like they'd set an iPhone up behind home plate, up in the air behind the press box, and just let it run.
That's such a bummer because people around the country would have watched that game. You know, I mean, that would have been I believe there are softball junkies out there that would have been all about that game.
There were no announcers, nothing. Almost no stats. They did eventually do balls and strikes. Okay. But you're just like, I have no idea.
Should have put Chip on the call yesterday. Just said, hey, man, here's the headset. Chip, go ahead.
What people don't realize is there's – the COVID rules are different at each state or different school or whatever. Like, I know when Tech went and played in Duke in football this year, that I guess since Duke's a private school and they set their own rules, I really don't know. But it was really difficult for, like, Virginia Tech's radio crew to operate like they normally operate.
Right.
Like, in so much as the rules even extend so far as, like, how many trips, like, you could take to – carry in and out equipment or just, I don't know if that was a specific one, but it's stuff like
something
that.
Like that.
Right. Yeah. So some of these rules are like, if you watch one broadcast and you're like, oh, this isn't good, or you're going to see things through the course of the year, or you have already seen things that, and you're like, why is it that way? And in a lot of cases, it's because that's that way because of rules preventing the normal way of doing things. I don't know. It's frustrating.
All right. So let's real quick. Chip does that. It's an open week this week for softball. So there's a chance they might add some games this week. So keep an eye on that. And so anyways.
Why doesn't Radford just drive over to Blacksburg?
They're supposed to play at Tech later in the year. I don't know if that's the reason why. They also did play on Sunday. You think about it. Hokies played one game Thursday in Clemson. That means they probably left Wednesday. They played two on Friday. Then they went from Clemson to Atlanta. Played two games on Saturday and then one on Sunday. I wonder, too, if both Radford just had a busy week. And I wonder if both coaches just said, you know what, with the field.
That's a lot of time.
We could use the week off before the weekend.
That's true.
So I wonder if that's the part of the reasoning as well. So, all right, let's try to transition. We've got one more sport to talk about, and they deserve some attention because, you know, you think about where everybody was in March of 2020, especially for athletes, right? Fall sports, they're getting ready for the upcoming season and training in the off season. Winter sports, we're getting ready to have their NCAA tournaments. Spring sports, we're just getting started. And if there's one team last year that I would have loved to have seen how things ended, it's Virginia Tech baseball. Because they had a weekend series against a really good Georgia Tech team, had leads late in two games, lost on walk-offs, heartbreaking losses. And then they won on Sunday, and Seymour set the ACC record for Virginia Tech in strikeouts in a game. And they had so much going for them, Chris. So after 46 weeks, Hokie baseball finally got to open their season in a doubleheader on Sunday at English Field. It was supposed to be a three-game set, but the weather had other plans. And I'm telling you, this is a Kent State team that is – I mean, really good. I mean, has made the College World Series in the last decade, many NCAA tournament appearances. They win 3-1 in Game 1 off of just three hits. Chris Girard was terrific. And then the bats were on fire in Game 2, and they win 9-2. I thought it was a very impressive weekend for Tech baseball.
I'm very happy about the pitching. And, you know, I'm pretty confident in Tech starting pitching. We'll see how the third starting role goes. Right. The guys they started against Kent State, I'm confident in, which is why I'm really disappointed that last season, you know, got canceled the way it did, because I think they had three legitimate ACC starters on that team, including a guy who was a second-round pick, you know.
A millionaire now, as Coach Jeff likes to say.
Right, and then they had a fourth-round pick at catcher. Yeah. So I think they were really well-positioned to have a good year. I still think they are this year. You just wish you had that star quality. Like, if you're in an elimination game in the ACC tournament, it would be nice to be able to turn to a second-round pick, right? Or the NCAA tournament or something like that. So I don't know. But it did give me more confidence that Girard and Simonetti were able to go out there and pitch very, very well. Yep. Low low walk to strikeout ratio, of course. That's key. So what we don't know yet is bullpen depth. Yeah. And that's always been an issue for Virginia Tech throughout the years is pitching depth. You know, they might have one or two good players, but they never have depth across the board. And if they can develop more depth this year, then they should be fine.
Well, there are a couple of relievers. Again, moving on from Girard, who threw six innings. By the way, it was funny. Simonelli and Girard both threw 85 pitches exactly yesterday.
Wow, really?
And you could tell, I think they both, you know, they've got a huge series at Miami next week, who are the preseason favorites in the Coastal.
I'm sure they were on a pitch count to a certain extent, and so if you're at 85 after six innings,
yep.
And you don't want to throw that opening weekend your starter a whole bunch like that. Yeah, exactly.
But Matthew Siverling threw two innings of scoreless baseball in relief of game one. He was awesome. I think he's a freshman, I believe. He's a great piece. You bring back Ryan Okuda out of the bullpen. Seymour struggled a little bit yesterday, but he's a senior, and he's going to likely be that Sunday option. They brought him out of the pen just to give him some innings.
Sure.
This guy by the name of Shane Connolly transferred. So this was the moment of the game yesterday in game two for anybody to follow along. Hokies got out to an early 5-0 lead. True freshman Tanner Schobel had a two-run single. Gavin Cross, 2020 freshman All-American, two-run home run. And they're up 5-0. Kent State loads the bases. It scores 5-2 at this point. And Hokies bringing their third pitcher in to face against three pitchers against three batters, right? So they had a Sam Rochard in for the leadoff hitter, pulled him after one batter. Then they brought in another pitcher, pulled him after one batter. So they bring in Connolly to make his Virginia Tech debut. He's a transfer from the Citadel. Bases are loaded, one out, 3-4 hitters at the plate. Comes in, strikes out the three-hitter, strikes out the four-hitter, gets Tech out of the jam, ends up finishing the game. So Keep an eye out for this guy, Connolly, to be a big arm out of the bullpen for Virginia Tech. It was the moment of the game because it just felt like Kent had all this momentum.
Yeah, so, Ryan Fectu, the pitching coach, who I think is elite.
He's elite.
Yeah, and he said, you know, he doesn't like to use the term closer. He likes to bring in his best relief pitchers for the most high-leverage situations. And so that's something to keep an eye on.
Sure.
If Connolly showed that he can shut down the other team when they've got the bases loaded like that.
And two really good hitters at the plate, too.
Right. So you're not sitting there saying, oh, we're going to bring our closer in the ninth inning, right? Maybe you bring him in the sixth inning if it's a high leverage situation. You know, there's the arguments about this for professional baseball.
Right.
Right. And I think I don't think it's the managers themselves. I think it's the closers themselves and the majors that are really blocking this from happening more. Because if you come in the sixth inning and you get the shutdown inning like that when they've got the bases loaded, it doesn't count as a save.
Right.
Right. And
it's all about the money you can make off your contract.
Yeah, you know, who knows if these guys have bonuses for certain amount of saves and things like that. I really have no idea.
Well, it's the stats you compile to get your next contract.
Yeah.
Think about it, there's always incentives. Think about the final game in week 17 of the NFL when you hear like, oh, this guy needs six more catches to get a $500,000 signing bonus, and the quarterback's just, you know, throwing to that receiver trying to make sure they get the incentive. So so up next for baseball, so they play Radford on Tuesday at home, 2:00 first pitch. And then they play at Miami this weekend. And again, Miami, the preseason favorites in the Coastal. So that'll be a really big test.
Where was Tech picked in the Coastal?
Sixth. But all the teams in front of them are NCAA tournament teams. And again, I think that if Tech could have played the season they did last year, they would have finished higher than I think teams would have thought in the Coastal.
If you make the ACC tournament, you're going to make the NCAA tournament.
Correct.
Pretty much.
Yep. So. Anyway, so good start for Virginia Tech baseball. And by the way, before we get to questions, one last thing. I had the chance to talk with Coach Sheff earlier in the week, and you were talking about how great our pitching coach Ryan Fecto is. I want to point this out. So Ian Seymour was the 51st overall selection in this year's MLB draft, right? He signed for over $1 million. It's all public information. And he was discussing, and I didn't think about this, so when you're in high school, you can enter the MLB draft, right? You can be drafted out of high school.
Yeah.
And a lot of these elite athletes that go play college baseball are drafted out of high school, but it's typically later rounds, like the 30th, 32nd. It's still a big honor to have that after high school. Ian Seymour and Carson Taylor both were not drafted out of high school.
Wow.
And so he really credited Fecto and the job he did developing Seymour into a second-round pick of somebody who really was not on a lot of radars coming out of high school.
Take that on the recruiting trail.
Yeah, and then Carson Taylor, who was a fourth-round pick, but he was hitting like 390. Yeah. I'm sorry, by the Dodgers.
His slash line was insane, yeah.
So anyway, I thought that was really an interesting point on his part, just the development of the coaching staff of making those guys into, you know, top picks in the draft. So
yeah, I think Tech's baseball coaching situation has just improved exponentially. I think Chef's a really good coach, but as good a coach he is, I think Fectu, like at some point, like we're not going to be able to keep that dude. He's a really, really good coach, and yep. Somebody with a lot of money is going to outbid.
And Coach
us.
Chef really lets him run the pitching staff. He's the one who goes and makes changes.
He's not just pitching coach. He's basically pitching coordinator.
Yeah, I was going to say director of pitching.
Yeah. Director of pitching, yeah.
So, well.
All right, so a little bit of quasi-breaking news. This was tweeted out by David Cunningham, who listens to the ACC, the coaches' ACC basketball conference call each week. And 22 minutes ago, David tweeted that Hokies head coach Mike Young says the situation around Tyrese Radford, quote, is still unfolding, unquote. So Mike Young did not commit to whether or not Radford will play Tuesday night. Next topic, Mike Young says Hokies guard Jalen Cohn is in a splint. Quote, it's more for support than anything, unquote. Young says it's possible Cohn plays on Tuesday versus Georgia Tech. Says he's waiting to hear from the medical staff on his availability. So, a little basketball news later.
Anything on Cordell Pemsel?
Well, those are the only David Cunningham tweets that are showing up in my Perfect. Timeline.
Thank you, David Cunningham. Okay, so there's some big news. We talked about that earlier in the show. So we'll have to wait and see what happens on Tuesday, and we'll be able to break it down all of next week on the Tech Sideline Podcast. All right, let's get to some questions here. You know, it's funny, before the show, we'll look somebody's like, you know, we can go if it needs to be a little bit shorter, and I'm thinking, yeah, maybe this will be a little bit shorter podcast, but somehow we always find a way to go hour 15. That's part of it on me, yep. But just great conversation. So let's get to some questions here. Let's see. Let's start with, well, again, a lot of people want to let you guys know that they actually listen on Stitcher. So
okay, that's all dominant. Right.
So
all
Stitcher, right. We have a lot Keep of people Stitcher. Saying.
Stitcher is not on the chopping block.
Let's see. We mentioned Asia Shepherd. Jason Howe, at this point, do we think fans will be allowed at the spring game? Maybe better question, no. Will there even be a no. spring game? Also, TSL Message Boards Classic, how much are tickets to the spring game?
Oh, well, okay. If fans aren't allowed in the spring game, then there's no point in having a spring game. All right, the spring game doesn't really do anything for the team. If anything, the coaches don't really like it from a competitive standpoint.
They'd rather practice.
They'd rather just practice.
Because it counts as a practice.
It counts as a practice, but they aren't really practicing. Right. Yeah, right. They're just kind of out there. And so from that standpoint, it helps. But at the same time, from a recruiting standpoint, it's certainly – it's Tech's biggest recruiting event of the year. So, no, they're not – I don't know this for a fact, but my guess is there won't be any fans at a spring game. And guess what? There's not going to be any recruits there anyway, because on-campus recruiting is barred by the NCAA through the end of May at least, right? So this will be 2 years in a row where Virginia Tech – their best recruiting tool is the spring game.
Malcolm, can we put the camera on me while Chris is talking?
two years in a row where Virginia Tech has lost their biggest recruiting tool.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, again, the good news is, or not the good news, nobody else is going to have that recruiting tool, right?
But that's our one strength in recruiting is our spring game crowd. So will you take away our strength? All right, UNC, nobody goes to a UNC football spring game. Sure. No, because nobody cares about football. So if UNC loses their spring game, it doesn't matter. That's not their strength in recruiting. It is our strength.
Yeah.
Like, you just cut off Samson's hair, man. It's what you've done. I don't think there's going to be a crowd at a spring game, and this is just a guess on my part. I hope to be wrong. And in which case, if there's no crowd, there's no point in actually having a spring game.
So I think that I saw wandering around the internet yesterday that Governor Northam is supposed to release new guidelines, I think this week, on outdoor gatherings, quote-unquote.
Right, right. Okay, so they might be allowed – there might be some – when I say no fans at the spring game, I mean like
– not normal capacity. Not normal.
Not a normal Virginia Tech spring. Exactly. So like – it won't be a big enough a crowd by our standards to have it be a strength on the recruiting trail or anything like that. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm not expecting normalcy. I'm on record as having written several times, like, we don't know that there's going to be spring practice. I assume that there is, but we don't know it for a 100% undeniable fact. And even then, like, you still got to do COVID testing and stuff like that. Like, what if this summer you find out, Braxton Burmeister couldn't make any progress in the Tech offense this spring because he tested positive for COVID.
Right.
So you're still going to be dealing with things like that.
All right. So actually, all the comments in the YouTube, we had one question. Everything else was just comments. So I'll go two things on Twitter. We'll have some fun. Jersey Hokie, who on the TSL staff would win a home run derby?
Certainly not me. I was a terrible hitter.
I'm going with either Chris or I'm going with Malcolm. You know why?
My hand-eye cord.
Even his little soft toss?
Oh, no, when you reach a certain age, like, I can still have, you know, with my context, and I have 20/20 vision when I focus in on one thing. I don't have it used to be, though, if I'm looking straight ahead, I could still see Will very clearly right here, but I can't do it now. You're a blur to me.
Wow.
And so it
can't be me.
And plus, you know, when things are moving fast, it's tough for me to focus my vision from here to here very quickly.
Man,
there's no chance. Like, if I got a hold of one, I could.
I don't know if we want this televised. So run derby. Yeah. I don't think I could hit one out at like Texas.
No, if you like seeing a slap hitter, like I had two home runs in my life, and they were where I slapped it out in between in softball, not baseball, where I slapped it out in between the right fielder and the right center fielder on a dewy morning, and the ball hit the grass and skipped between them, and I was fast enough to get around the bases before they could track it down and get in it. That's my version of a home run. So, okay. No.
All right. And last one for you. We'll end with this. One of my good friends is an avid listener of the Tech Sideline podcast. He is the men's and women's tennis SID, as well as men's soccer. His name's Will Copeland. He listens like every podcast last year and a half. And he's been asking me, can we just get a shout out of tennis on there? And I'm like, you know what? Today is that day. So, Hugo Maia is the national player of the week in men's tennis. And they're off to a great start. They're 4-2. They beat Boston College on Sunday 7-0 in Chestnut Hill. And they beat Davidson 7-0 last week. They're on a 3-game winning streak. They beat Middle Tennessee State 4-1. They almost beat North Carolina opening. They're ranked second in the country. They lost 4-3.
Oh, bummer.
So anyways.
Is Tech ranked? Because that's a good performance against the number two team in the country.
I don't think they are ranked. I should know this, but I just wanted to shout out men's tennis for off to a good start, and I know the women's are playing as well. So
we're not doing an Olympic sports like I thought we would do, and I don't mean Virginia Tech. I mean like the NCAA, we as a society. Like I thought, like, now tell me if I'm wrong and this did happen, but I assumed to like get enough games in that like you'd have multiple teams meeting in one spot and all playing each other over like 2 or 3 days or something like that. So tennis went to play Boston College.
Mm-hmm.
Boston College was the only team they played.
Correct.
Right there, right? Okay, so why didn't like Providence and Rhode Island
join?
And so
it's a long
and it's an extra, you know, you got to play a little more while you're there, but you get more games in on the same trip.
Save money.
I don't know if that's feasible or not, but that's how I thought.
Tennis matches do take a little because you got to win. It's the first of five wins. Yeah. So you got singles and doubles.
Wow.
And a lot of, I believe, again, I'm a high school tennis player now, but I believe that the singles players also team up and play doubles. So you're playing a lot of tennis in a day.
I don't mean to use just tennis as an example, but I thought that would be happening.
Or even a weekend. You go up there, you play one team on Sunday, one on a Saturday.
Right.
Yep.
So that's how I thought it would be. But I haven't seen too much.
Women's
of that.
Tennis 2-4 on the year. They're 0-1 in conference play with. And I'll shout out. This was a great tweet from women's tennis. They played Xavier on Valentine's Day. They won 5-2, and the tweet was, "It's a bad day to be exes."
Oh man,
I like
so,
that.
Anyways, clever tweet. Clever. So, anyways, there's your men's and women's tennis update. That they're playing, and again, there's over. I mean, gosh, with track. I mean, there's like 12 sports playing. You throw golf in there. You throw the men's soccer, women's soccer, volleyball about to start. I mean, it's just we're about to be talking about fall sports in March playing games. So that's the It's the beauty of so anyway.
High school football coming up.
FCS football kicked off this past weekend.
It did.
Virginia High School football kicks off this coming weekend.
Did you see the tweet with the referee open mic during the JMU game? I believe it was. Profanity laced.
Oh God,
that was bad.
And I responded, I'm just waiting for a hot mic to get the Tech Sideline podcast in trouble one day.
Oh God, but I'm telling you, man,
Deion Sanders won his first game.
It's some intern running that rather than a full time employee, because those like JMU.
I don't know the refs running around with the mic on his. It was an audio. It looked like they were running in for halftime.
Right.
Yeah. And the referee still had his mic on, so I think it went out over the PA.
Oh. Yes.
That was the not top 10 of the weekend. I saw that, and my jaw dropped when I saw
Aren't you a little surprised that doesn't happen more often than?
Yes. Yes. I mean, he yelled something like, I can't hear an effing thing on this effing thing, you know, and it went out over the PA in the stadium.
Man. Everyone's like, oh, like you hear the oohs and ahs.
Just like, didn't the Virginia Tech female fan get caught cussing at the refs at one of the basketball?
Oh, my God. It was a Clemson football game, wasn't it? Right before halftime? Right. I was loud and clear. Herb Street and Fowler, like, whoa.
Wow.
So, anyways. All right, we're an hour and a half in. That's going to wrap things up. Chris Coleman, men's basketball is back this week. A lot going on. What's going on at TechSideline.com this week?
I'm going to put Corey article up recapping baseball. That's coming up today.
We've got a Chip article recapping softball.
Two great reads, by the way. A lot of W's to go around.
Yeah. We have a commitment today.
Yeah, we have a commitment apparently, which I've got to go research.
So that's today.
I don't know. That's
four pieces of content today because we'll also post the podcast. Right. So we'll be busy.
I'm working on I'm accumulating the data for basketball, and I don't know when I actually want to write this. Maybe after the season, since we do so much content during the season. And this year, I'm afraid that like as soon as the season's over, I'm going to be looking around, and be like, "What do I write about?"
Yeah,
right. So I want to save some of this stuff, but I'm working on an article that's comparing the basketball conferences and their rankings and the Ken Pomeroy ratings over time, like over a 10-year. Stretch or so, and generally what we're seeing is the Big Ten is their huge massive television conference
contract
has kicked in. They have become far and away the best basketball conference, and for a while there we were seeing the Big 12 and the ACC on top of the Pomeroy ratings, and those two conferences, as their TV contracts have fallen behind, we've seen them take a nosedive.
Well, are you saying that the Big Ten's best basketball conference? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Over the ACC?
ACC's like fifth or sixth this year.
Yeah, so this morning during the ACC teleconference, Georgia Tech's Josh Pastner went on for a little bit about how the ACC is the best basketball conference in the country. And
no, it's
not. I read that tweet, and I'm like, it's not.
It's not even close.
And it hasn't been for years.
Yeah. I think joining the ACC didn't do anything for Syracuse basketball, and it hurt Boston College basketball. Boston College used to have a good program, but I think if Boston College, Boston College is one of those schools that tries to support like 35 sports.
I'm not sure you're exaggerating. It may actually
it's well over 30. I know. Yeah, it might even be like 37 or something like that. So I understand that they wanted to make more money and everything like that, but I just don't think – I don't know. I just think players up there, they don't care anything about playing in the ACC.
Well, Pittsburgh used to be a great program in basketball.
Pittsburgh was terrific.
Yeah.
The days of Jamie Dixon before he went to TCU.
Yeah.
The Big East tournament, gosh, that was a fun tournament to watch back in the day.
So. There's only so many great teams that can be in one league. But now that we're seeing Duke drop off, North Carolina's not as good as they used to be. Notre Dame's not as good as they used to. There's another one like
NC State's still not.
I don't think joining the ACC long term has done Notre Dame any favor in basketball.
Yep.
And meanwhile, the Big Ten, they just keep making more and more and more money.
And the SEC is starting to buy some really good coaches.
They are, and the Big Ten's coaches aren't 80 years old like half the ACC's, it seems.
Good point.
So
Yeah, think about Juwan Howard at Michigan, right? Young, Fab Five, recruiting. And, yeah, man, it's a good,
point. Is he their head coach now?
Yeah, he was the assistant coach with the Miami Heat, and they, after John Beilein left to take the Cleveland Cavaliers job, he's in his second year, and Michigan's ranked second in the country right now.
Wow, shows you how much attention I pay to Big Ten basketball.
Fab Five players can tell you something about recruiting.
Yeah, a little something. A little something,
Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm. All right, well, wow, what a great show today.
So that's not coming up this week, but that's coming up at some point. I don't know whether it's going to be after the season or before. I still got to accumulate all the data. But.
So the other thing I have to do is I have to do an update on the scholarship that we're endowing in the School of Communications. We're halfway through that.
Nice.
It's a $100,000 commitment over 5 years, and we are 30 months into that 60-month payment. So we've paid $50,000 into the endowed scholarship. So we got that going on. That's exciting. And also, I need to update TSLers on the new office setup, because we did a video. Malcolm and I did a video of what this place used to look like when our office was still in here along with the set. Well, we've opened up next door and opened up a new office, and we've got it up and running. We've been in there for a few weeks, and I haven't done an update on that.
Well, that's what's coming up on TSL this week. At Tech Sideline on Twitter, at Will Stewart TSL, at Chris Coleman TSL. Be sure to follow along. And, yeah, that'll wrap things up. Episode 168. Next week's show, who knows what it will bring. I'm sure we'll be talking about men's basketball in some capacity back in action. Women's basketball will have finished their regular season by the time we do a show next week.
Wrestling.
We'll have competed, of course. Yeah, hopefully we're talking about an ACC championship on Monday. That would be nice. And, yeah, we'll keep everybody up to date with what's going on Virginia Tech Athletics. Any closing thoughts, gentlemen?
Nope, I just gave him a closing thoughts.
No. Okay. I got to go start writing.
He needs to go start writing. Yeah. That'll do it for us here. Episode 168 of the Tech Sideline Podcast, presented by Campus Emporium, Anytime Fitness, the Southeast Regional Training Center. For Chris Coleman, Will Stewart, the best podcast producer in the land, Malcolm Stewart, I'm Evan Hughes saying so long. Thanks so much for watching. Have a great week, Hokies.